A new report argues that black women are underrepresented in elected office nationwide. The report comes from Higher Heights for America, a national organization aimed at encouraging black women to run for office. According to the report, black women make up more than 7% of the U.S. population, but account for less than 5% of all elected positions. That's at the state and federal level. The report also finds that 2018 midterm elections could see some changes. Glinda Carr is co-founder of Higher Heights for America. Glinda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've seen numbers in recent elections showing that black women are very politically active. They're more likely to vote, I think, than any other group in the United States, but they're not represented in elected office. Can you talk about the different numbers?
Sure. Yeah. So every year we partner with the Center for American at Rutgers. They're the holder of, decades of research about women in elected office. And we thought it was important as we started our organization 6 years ago that we needed to create a baseline. So where are black women in American politics? The 23 million black women in this country are underrepresented and underserved. But what we've seen over the last decade is a steady increase in the number of black women running and the number of black women running. So in 2016, if you want to look at that frame, you know, when you had a woman running for the highest office, and on November 8th of that year, you know, people were anticipating that there was going to be this break in the glass ceiling. That didn't happen. When I woke up the day after the election, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I saw two things, though, that wasn't the main head story. Black women broke through on the ballot and at the polls. So 94% of black women voted to move this country forward. But we also elected the largest number of women of color serving in Congress, including the largest number of black women in serving, the largest number of black women serving in Congress, including sending the second black woman to ever serve in the U.S. Senate, in the U.S. Senate Senator Kamala Harris from California. We also elected the largest number of black women serving in state legislatures in this country, including electing the first black woman to serve in the Kentucky legislature in 20 years. In 2014, there were only one black woman serving as a mayor of a major city. We now have five. And in May, when LaToya Cantrell in New Orleans is sworn in, we will have six. So there's major gains that have made, but there still are barriers of why women, and particularly black women, struggle to not only consider to run for office, but have the resources and the tools needed to be able to run, win, and serve.
Can you talk about some of those barriers, Glinda, facing black women as they think about running for office?
Yeah, our full report, again, that we do with the Center for American Women in Politics, pulls from a variety of research papers that have been done over the last couple of years. So, like, you know, women in general, raising money is a barrier. But for African-American women, that becomes a larger barrier. In addition, women are often not encouraged to run for office. Research points to that black women are oftentimes discouraged from running for office and struggle to navigate gatekeepers. The Center for American Progress last year, Judith Warren put out some great research talking about gatekeepers and how, you know, our local, state, and national political structures often create barriers for women considering running for office. So we are excited at Higher Heights about being the political home for and by black women. We've launched last year a webinar series that allows women just thinking about running for office to log on a Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock in the comfort of their home to just start exploring what are the tools you need to either be more politically engaged. It may be, you know, my best friend who is just looking to be a little more engaged outside of just voting, to someone that is seriously thinking about running for office, to a woman currently running for office who are looking for tools for her to be more successful in her journey.
One thing that struck me in your report, you mentioned mayors of big cities, you mentioned members of Congress and Senate. There's never been a black woman as governor in this country.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at that, there's actually only been 12 black women ever elected in statewide offices. We currently have three serving, two lieutenant governors, the lieutenant governor in Kentucky, the lieutenant governor in New Jersey, and the state treasurer in Connecticut. What's shocking is that people assume that there has been a black woman elected governor. In our 241-year history, There never has been, but there is a opportunity in Georgia this year to elect the first black woman governor in the candidate of Stacey Abrams. And for us at Higher Heights, we've got to create pipelines for a black woman to run from school board to city council to state legislature. It's the pipeline to create more opportunities for black women to run statewide, and frankly, for me to envision a black woman creating a pathway for her to run to be president of the United States.
We're talking to Glenda Carr with the group Higher Heights for America, talking about black women in politics. By the numbers, underrepresented in pretty much any office you can think of. Glenda, let's talk about now the election 2018. What are you seeing out there when it comes to black women running for office?
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the late Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm's run in election to Congress, catapulting her to be the first black woman ever seated in that body. So 50 years later, black women are still, looking to expand the representation at decision-making tables. She once said, if there isn't a seat at the table, bring your folding chair. I think the 21st century model to that is twofold. Let's define the makeup of that decision-making table, and in some aspects, challenging to claim your seat at the table. That being said, there are a record number of women running for office, and there's a record number of black women running for office. There's a database that was launched right after the Alabama Senate elections. It's called Black Women in Politics, and they've been tracking through a crowdsourcing model black women that are running for office up and down the ballot, and that database has over 500 black women who have identified that they're running for office. So it's an exciting time, but we also have to recognize there's a lot of work to still be done to effectively encourage black women to run, prepare them to run, and then for us, it's about ensuring that once elected, that they have the support and environment for them to push policies that that can move black women's issues, their community issues, and frankly, our nation's issues forward.
You mentioned the race for governor in Georgia. Are there other particular races you have your eye on around the country?
People may have been following Lauren Underwood, who's running in Illinois for Congress. A little-known candidate. She's a registered nurse. She's in her 30s. Worked for the Obama administration, went back home, decided to run for office, running in a district that doesn't look like her. I believe the district is just a little over 3% African-American. For us, it is about electing qualified candidates regardless of their background. And this past Tuesday, she actually won that primary election with 60% of the vote in a seven-way race. So we're very excited about not only more diverse candidates stepping off the sidelines, but the fact that she, proved that she was able to mount a successful campaign. Lucy McBeth is running in Georgia. She is a gun violence activist. She was Troy Davis's mother. So again, talking about this discussion around gun control and gun violence, that you have activists considering, stepping off the sidelines to run for office. Aja Brown, I think everyone's going to be following this race in California. Aja Brown, who's the mayor of Compton, and actress Stacey Dash are running for a same seat in California. So lots of opportunities. If people want to follow our work, they should follow us online with our hashtag Black Women Lead or at Higher Heights. And you can find about the latest interesting statistics and data points about black women running for office. And more importantly, to be engaged in a conversation about how do we actually truly harness and unleash the organizing power of black women from the voting booth to elected office.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Glenda, are you hoping that success breeds success as black women see other black women running and maybe winning? It'll inspire more of them to do the same?
Absolutely. Again, research actually points to a role modeling effect. It is not by coincidence that over the last couple election cycles, you continue to see more black women running for office. When we see on the possibilities that exist, it inspires more women to run for office. My favorite quote from Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms' victory speech when she won back in December 2017, she said, "For all the little girls who can't see past their circumstance, I want you to know that Black girl magic is real."
We'll leave it there, Glenda. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Glenda Carr, co-founder of Higher Heights for America, a national organization that works on getting Black women into politics. She joined us to talk about their new report looking at the number of Black women running for office in 2018.